Blog Talk Radio.
Hey,
go ahead, Bizarre.
One, two, three. Okay, got you. All right. This is Watchman on the Wall. This is Elder G. Bizarre coming to you from Warren, Ohio. I'm back in town, and we're going to go into this teaching tonight, giving honor to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the one that is, the one that was, and the one forevermore, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning end. It's a pleasure to be with you and a pleasure to bring the message of the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the one that died on Calvary's cross 2,000 years ago, gave up his son, his only son, that through his son, Jesus Christ, man can be redeemed back to God forever. In other words, we receive salvation by faith, not by works, lest any man should boast. We come to Christ by repenting of our sins, turning from sin. I don't know if you get that or not. Turning from sin, turning from satanic powers, turning from evil, iniquity, turning from sin in a repentive spirit, a contrite heart, and turn to the cross, believing that Jesus Christ died for your sins. And by him dying for your sins, you can repent. And believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and he can save your soul. Because there's no other way on the other side of heaven, on the middle part of heaven, or on the right-hand side of heaven. There's no way no man can ever be saved but by Jesus Christ. Don't come with this, you hanky-panky. Amen. There's no religion on this planet or any other planet that a man can reach God. There's no other religion, and religion is an act of service, an act of serving a deity. That's what religion is. And Jesus Christ, amen, is the only way that made a way that man could be brought back to God. And let me tell you this now. Christianity is not a religion. I'll say it again. Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is a personal divine relationship with Jesus Christ. And when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, he comes into your heart, you immediately know who God is, because Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, born of a Virgin Mary, come down through 42 generations from the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of Adam, which is was the son of God, and Adam begot Seth. And from that bread line, that unique line, that DNA line, it came all the way down to Mary and Joseph. And when Mary was found with child, she couldn't understand why and how could this happen. But the angel Gabriel came to Mary and said, "Fear not. For you shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people." And his people means the Jewish people has the first opportunity to receive salvation. And then when the Jews rejected Jesus Christ, God gave the Gentiles an opportunity to be grafted in to the olive tree. That is the church. The church is the body of Christ. You cannot join the church. You cannot link up with a church. Oh, you can go to church, but actually, you're not going to church, because the church, amen, is you. You're going to worship. You're going to worship in the spirit at a building made of bricks and wood and hanging lights and benches and pulpit. That's a building. And when you say go to church, that means that you think the building is the church. The building is not the church. You are the body of Christ, so you are the church. You are a living divine organism. If you have been born again, you got an opportunity to know exactly who God is. You got an opportunity like never before to know who God is. And when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you know who God is. Because Jesus Christ said, I am what? The beginning, and I am the end. I'm the first and the last. And he said, beside me, there is no other. There's only one God. I don't know. How can people think that there's more than one God, true living God? There ain't never one true living God. There's other gods. The devil wants to be like God. His demons want to be like God. They want to rule like God. But they're not God. They're fallen angels. They're demonic. They're Nephilim. They are half-breed. They're half divine and half human. When the watchers on top of Mount Hermon came down, and they was watchers, and they decided that they was going to try to pollute the human race, so the seed, the promised seed, would not arrive. So they cohabitated with the daughters of men. These watchers, and they were known as giants and Nephilim. And these Nephilim caused the flood, because when God told Noah to build an ark, at that time, the Nephilim were cohabitating with the human women, and these women, amen, were bringing forth half divine and half human people. And they were wicked. They were not of the promised seed. They were wicked. So God couldn't use them because they had cohabitated with fallen angels. So the human race became so corrupt and so evil. It was continually year after year, day after day, hour after hour, minute after year. It did that. I mean, it was so wicked that the Lord said, I'm going to give you 120 years, Noah, to build an ark. And Noah was the only righteous seed, him and his family, was the only righteous seed up on the earth that God saved from the flood. And he told Noah to preach 120 years. And a lot of people say, well, God must have predestinated that. No, God didn't predestinate that. Satan interfered with God's descendants, and he was trying to corrupt the seed. And that seed, amen, corrupted the whole human race. And by that, there was only 8 people left on the planet that God said, you found grace in my eyesight, Noah. I want you to build a boat, a B-O-A, a floating vessel, because I'm going to let it rain for 40 days and 40 nights, consistently rain, more than Ida, more than any hurricane that has been up on the earth to date. This year was the hurricanes and the storm of all storms. It rained so long, and it rained so much that it flooded a whole round world. You know, you got some atheists, and you got some agnostics, and you got all kind of, I don't believe that. The Bible. That's impossible. Your mind is too fragile. Your mind is too fragile. You can't even comprehend who God is one iota. You can't comprehend. No way your brain can comprehend the awesome power that God has. He is God all by himself. And I'm willing to say, God don't need me. You need God. I need God. Every human being on this planet needs God in their life. And the world is saying, oh, we don't really need him. We're doing all right. Oh, so what? The world's in bad shape, but it's going to get better. Well, that's a lie, because the devil knows things are going to get worse and get worse and get worse and get worse and get worse. It's almost going to be unfit to live in. And we're almost at that point now. And that was at the point when Noah had the flood, before the flood, the world was almost unfit to live in. Those wicked spirits and those wicked Nephilim and those giants was cohabitating. There was a prostitution. There were all kinds of sin. There was heterosexual, homosexual, lesbianism. These watchers, these angels having sex with animals, Sodom and night, it was bad. It was so bad. Noah had to be with the Lord because he built that thing for 120 years, and he wasn't stained by the sin that was surrounding him until he got that flood done, got that ark done, and he told and called all the animals on. And the last 7 days before the flood, God let the ark stay open so that if anybody want to come on their own that wanted to be saved from the flood, they could come on the boat. And nobody, nobody came on the boat. 120 years, they done heard it. They heard it. They seen it. They felt it. They were saying that Noah had lost his cotton picking mind. He's a sick puppy. That man is so old. And then that day you live like 900, 500, 600, 400, 200, 100. And people was multiplying and repopulating the earth. But it was done in depravity. I mean, it was wicked people. They were doing every wicked thing that you see today. Listen. Everything you see today and hear today was done in the days of Noah. There's nothing deleted because man got the same old spirit that they had since the fall came, and they got it today. They are killing today. They are raping today. Drug addict, homosexual, you got fags, you got punks, you got everything, you name it. We got it. The world has every abomination sin. In the days of Noah, they got it today, and it's getting so bad that it's unsafe to even walk down the street. It's unsafe to even lock your house. It's unsafe to even drive a car in the big cities or in the country and in the small town. It's dangerous to even say speak to anybody because the world is filled with hatred, bigotry, racial injustice. The world is filled with pornography. The world is filled with homosexual. The world is filled with prostitution. It's filled with every diabolical demon can put out. So what we're looking at, we're looking at a time like never before, and people are trying to escape it because they're getting all kind of bunkers. They're selling bunkers. People are gathering food up. People are worried about a famine coming, which is going to come. It's going to come, and that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Going to talk about the four horses of apocalypse. They get ready to ride. They ain't riding yet, but they ride just enough to know that you can know and see what's getting ready to come up, because we got everything in Revelation is being fulfilled with a prelude. In other words, you see it before he hits the fan. Woo! And it's going to hit the fan after a while. It's going to hit the fan. When he hit the fan, these four horses of apocalypse are going to ride full blast. The Antichrist is going to come. War is going to break out. Famine is going to break out. And diseases are going to break out on the face of this earth. Why? Because it's judgment time. It's called the 7-year tribulation. Preachers don't preach about it. They're scared to death. Because the Revelation, and I can speak like this. Revelation to the devil is fright night. Fright night. He is terrified. The devil's terrified of Revelation because Revelation shows his doom. The devil is doomed, and every demon is doomed. And if you're not saved, you are doomed. If you're not saved, you're doomed to go to hell. Oh, my God. Let me take my time here. I'll say it again. If you're not saved, you're doomed to go to hell. Because sin is where it's going to be punished, in hell. Sin is going to be punished in hell. The devil going to be punished in a lake of fire that burns with brimstone. I don't say that in hatred. I don't say that. I say hatred to the devil because I hate him. But I don't want to say what the Bible says. But it's in the Bible. I got to say it. I don't want nobody to go to hell. God himself don't want nobody to go to hell. No. Ain't no way. Ain't no way God just want to drop people in hell. Why? Just because he want to? No. Because man fall. Man fail. Man fail from a relationship with God all the way down to rock bottom. Instead of God just destroying the whole world and start all over again, he saved Noah and his family to repopulate the earth. And by repopulate the earth, a redeemer had to come. And he used the Jewish nation to bring the redeemer to this earth. And when he brought him to this earth, he was able to say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, that's what God done to save you from hell. Yes, he did. He did it because he said, I got power enough to lay down my life, and I got power enough to pick it up again. I received this of my Father, and that's exactly what God did. He came down here in the flesh. Woo, and he was born of a Virgin Mary, stayed on this earth for 33 and one half years. Did miracles beyond no other man could ever do in eternity. He did miracles, my God. He caused a dead man to get up and walk. He caused a fed 5,000 with two fishes and five barley of bread. He did more miracles in that year of 33 years than any man did in human history. No one man could ever do what Jesus Christ, because he was not only man, he was God in man. Come on now. God in man. I am a father of one. I'm in the Father in me. The works that he does is not I, but the Father that dwelleth in me. So it was God and God alone that did what he had to do, and that was give up his son and let him die. Let him be beaten. Let him be crucified. Let him be nailed to a piece of wood. Let him be mocked. Let him be despised. Let him be rejected of men, acquainted with grief. Let him go down in the grave where the wicked go. Let him stay in the grave for what, 3 days and three nights, and get up on the third day morning with all power. All power in heaven and earth in his hand. And now he can save you to the uttermost, meaning forever. And the world is saying, I don't want to go that route. I want to enjoy my own personal life. I want to live for myself. I want to have a whole lot of friends. I want to do what I want to do. Well, you have a choice to do what you want to do. But let me tell you, at the end of your life, if you didn't make the right choice of choosing Jesus Christ, you got to pay for your own sins. And if you got to pay for your own sins, that means there's no way you can pay for your own sins. There's no man, no woman, no girl, no scientist, no archaeologist, no zoologist have found the secret of eternal life. Because let me tell you, they ain't got none. No religion. The Baptist, the Presbyterian, the Orthodox Jew, the Judaism, and all the religions put together have not been able to find any way to appease God and satisfy God and find a sacrifice that somebody would die from them and come from the grave and then go back to heaven. Come on now, you ain't going to find nobody. That's what old Acts 4:12 say. Acts 4:12 say. Let's get that just for a thought. Just for a real thought. Acts 4:12. It reads this. Acts 4:12 in the book of Acts. Get that real fast as I possibly can for you. It says this. 4:12 says, listen, 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other. Read that now. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. All right, no other name. no other deity, no other God, no other way that man can come above what Christ done. His name is higher than any name. So at the name of Jesus, the Bible says, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Now, if you don't confess him here, you can confess him at the judgment. So if I was you, I would confess him here. I would confess him with my mouth, and I will believe with my heart that God actually uniquely, definitely, absolutely was nailed to the cross, absolutely died, absolutely, what? Went down in the grave, absolutely stayed down there for 3 days and three nights, absolutely got up on the third day morning, absolutely, and got all power in heaven and in earth in his hand. So what you saying, preacher? I'm saying all the religions in the world is a waste of time. All the denominations, some people think they're going to heaven off of denomination. No, impossible. Never happened. Impossible. Never happened. Only one way, and that's God's way. God got one way. God ain't got two ways, three ways, or one way and a half. He got one way, and that is come to his son, Jesus Christ, in repentance of turning from your sins. Turn it from your number one sin, unbelief. Because a lot of people don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Don't believe that he died and rose again. Don't believe that he went down in the bowels of the earth and came up on the third day. Don't believe that he left this planet 2,000 years ago and he's coming back. Don't believe that there's going to be a time when the church will be missing from the earth and raptured up to the presence of Jesus Christ at the rapture of the church. Don't believe there's going to be a 7-year tribulation where all hell is going to break loose off on this earth. It's going to break loose, and let me tell you something. It ain't going to be no coronavirus. It ain't going to be no vaccination for it. There ain't going to be nothing can save you but the blood of Jesus Christ. I'll stand on it. I'll walk with it. I'll pronounce it. I'll proclaim it. I'll explain it. There's only one way, and that way is the way that Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. This is Watchman on the Wall. Let you know time is running out. Every minute, every second of the day, time is running out. We're in the first day of September the 1st. And this is what? You won't believe it. You might not even think about it. But this is known as the Rapture Month. This is the name of the Rapture Month, Rosh Hashanah, where the shofar will be blown. Good God Almighty. This is the only month, amen. Woo, I'm saying some strong stuff here. I'm saying some strong stuff. This is the only rapture month that the shofar can be blown. And they've been blowing it ever since they was at Mount Sinai. At Mount Sinai, they blew it. And it means a time of repentance, a time of awe, a time of the new year of the Jewish. It's time to repent. It is a battle cry. It is a calling up. It is a way, amen. A lot of people say, well, I don't think the church is going to go. I think the church is going to go through the tribulation period. No, the church is not going through the tribulation. This is a harvest month. September and October is harvest month. This is the time that the church is going to be harvested. It means caught up to meet the Lord in air. Oh, man, you preacher, you crazy man. You a lunatic. You about backwards as a backyard dog. You don't know what you're talking about. Well, you tell God that. Amen, because it's in the word of God. And if it's in the word of God, you calling God himself a backyard dog. And he got this thing together. The eternal one got this thing together. And God is a God of order. He is perfect. He never made a mistake. Never will make a mistake. When he saved, he saves forever. And when he loved, when he loved you, and he already loved you, but he wants to love you more. And he can love you more, woo, if you accept his son. if you accept his son. God is pleased when you repent and turn to his son, Jesus Christ. God is well pleased. It tells me if one soul come in, the angels in the heaven rejoice that one soul come in. And a lot of souls is coming in. And it ain't coming out to church. It's coming out to the side streets, coming out of the prison house. It's coming out on people who probably never heard about Jesus Christ like church folks have heard about it. Because a lot of church folks have heard it, and they ain't done nothing about it. They're still walking around there having the form of God. They ain't got no power. They ain't got no love. They ain't got no joy. They ain't got no understanding that Jesus Christ is getting ready to come back to this earth. And can't tell nobody. We got preachers, amen, been preaching for years. Preaching for years and never touched Revelation. And we're almost about to enter into Revelation. I'm talking about the world is, because the church is not going to go through no tribulation period. No, that's them. That ain't scripture. And it never will be scripture. The only ones that are going to go through the tribulation period, listen, the only ones that will go through the tribulation period is when the trumps of God sound. The dead in Christ shall rise, and those that died in Jesus Christ, asleep in Jesus Christ, and we that remain alive that is saved, not safe, but saved, are going to hear a trumpet, going to hear a sound, going to hear a shofar, going to hear a noise and hear a great thundering. It may be a great voice, and in the moment of the twinkling of an eye, the dead in Christ will rise, and we that remain alive will zip out of here like a bolt of lightning, because it's going to be so fast, it's going to make your head swim. It's going to be so fast that when it happens, people are going to actually lose their mind. When they find out that their loved one's gone, their babies are gone, they're going to be car wrecks, they're going to be plane wrecks, they're going to be all kinds of catastrophe that hit the earth, and they're going to wonder what it is and what it's all about. And the main thing is they were left here. The unregenerated was left here on the planet. And after the rapture of the church, there won't be one righteous person left on the planet. One. There won't be none until, listen to me say, there won't be none left upon this earth. It'll be more wickedness spread like nothing, but God has a plan for the Jewish people and for the nations of the world. After the rapture of the church, the body of Christ, Jesus Christ, will rapture the church. The church will go up before the judgment seat of Bema. They will be gone from this planet for 7 years. Absolutely. 7 years. Just like God said to the Jewish people, I'm going to give you 490 years. I'm going to deal with my people. But they were cut off at 483 years. That's 7 years short of 490 years. Talking to the Jews now. He ain't talking to the Gentiles. Talking to the Jews. Talking to Daniel. Talking to Ezekiel. Talking to all the major and minor prophets. I'm going to deal with my people and restore them back into the land of Israel. It's going to take me 2,600 years to restore Israel back in the land, because they were scattered all over the face of the earth. And God promised the prophets, the seers, that before I come back to this earth, I'm going to restore the whole Jewish nation. And I'm going to cut them off 7 years short, and I'm going to grab the church in, because I'm going to cut the Jews off. I cut the Jews off at the cross because they crucified the Lord Jesus Christ, and by them crucifying the Lord Jesus Christ, that gives the privilege to the Gentiles to be grafted into the, what? The olive tree. Who's the olive tree? Israel is the olive tree. And so the Jews were cut off at 483 years, and that was fulfilled at the time that Jesus Christ rode through Jerusalem on the coat of an ass, and the following week he was crucified. They hung him high and stretched him wide. They put him in the grave. They let him stay there and not believing that he was going to get up. But on the third day he got up with all power in heaven and in earth. And then he said, I'm going away to prepare a place for you. And if I go away, I will absolutely come back. And from that point on, the Jews were cut off 7 years short. So God ain't never shortchanged nobody. He ain't shortchanged the Gentiles. He didn't shortchange the Jews. Because he said, these are my people. They're the apple of my eye. I'm going to redeem them back into the rightful state in which they belong, because during the millennium reign, good God Almighty, hallelujah, they're going to become the head of all the nations of the world. They will be the number one nation. They have been the tail for almost 3,000 years. And God said, I'm going to take them and bring them that they'll be the head of all nations. And all nations shall take the skirt, take the hold of the skirt of the Jew and say, we hear that the Lord is with you. That would be during the millennium reign. So what we got, preacher? We got a seven-year period that's getting ready to come up. And this seven-year period that's getting ready to come up is the 7 years that God owes the Jews. He don't owe it to the Gentiles. He owe it to the Jews, his chosen ones, his ones that did not fulfill their ministry because they were cut off at 483 years when Jesus rode through Jerusalem on the coat of an ass. They were done. And that's when the church was grafted in. And the church started with 120 Jews, but 12, 13 years later, amen, the church began to engraft the Gentiles. And ever since then, the church has been composed mostly of Gentiles. So 2,000 years, the church has been on this earth. 2,000 years. My God, my God. Jesus said, up on this rock, I'm going to build my church. And the world today is saying, oh, ain't nothing to that church stuff. Ain't nothing to the crucifixion. Ain't nothing to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's a bunch of hogwash. You're wasting your time, because I've seen so many church folks call themselves Christian and they live worse than the world. But I'm not following the church. I'm following Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, you say, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free, make you free. And you be free from him, you are indeed free. So what we doing? We're living at the last church age. The last church age is Laodicean. The Laodicean is consisted of unregenerated people who claim Christ but don't know him. And this church, which is mostly humanism, and humanism is diabolical. Humanism is Satan technique, amen, to believe that you can work your way to heaven, that you can work and do good things to go to heaven. And so they bring humanism in. And that this church believed in doing anything they want to do, yet still they still think they're worthy to enter the kingdom of God. But Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. Was born of spirit is spirit, was born of flesh is flesh. Ye must be born again. So if you want to go to heaven, ye must be born again. Because if you don't have the Spirit of Christ in you, you hear what I said? If you don't have the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Ghost in you, you don't belong to God. And I know the people saying, we all God's people. Yes, we all, God made us all. But everybody ain't God's people. As people who are not being born again, you are the child of the devil. Uh-oh. No, I ain't the child of the devil. I'm a good person. I don't smoke. I don't drink. I don't lie. I don't cheat. I don't steal. I'm the good person. No. I don't care how good you are. I don't care how sweet you are. I don't care how much money you got. I don't care how much education you got. I don't care how much your talent and your career is, You must be born again. You must come to Christ. You got to come to Christ if you expect to live with Jesus Christ throughout eternity, because sin will never, 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 never come in the presence of God throughout eternity. So the only way you can get rid of your sins out of your soul, out of your spirit, is by the power and the washing and the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ, because it sanctifies your soul and sets you apart from sin, that your soul and your spirit will never, never sin again, because Christ's blood destroys the works of the devil in your heart. But you got another member to deal with. You got that carnal nature to deal with. That carnal nature is lying, cheating, backbiting, whoremongering. That's the flesh. Unbelief. But when you come to know Jesus Christ, the power of God in you can change your life, that you can be a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, everything is new. Now you can walk in the light of Jesus Christ. But what's wrong with the church today? Too many hypocrites, too many sinners in there claiming that they know Jesus Christ, and they don't know nothing. They don't know nothing. They have a form of godliness, but they ain't got no power. This church of Laodicea, this is what they do. Listen, this is what they deny. This humanist church. And in the midst of those, in the midst of Laodicea, there's a few in the church of Laodicea that say, but most of them in there is lost. So Jesus tells them to come out from among them and be ye separated. So if you in a church that's not teaching the biblical principles of the word of God and believing the infilling of the Holy Ghost and the burial, death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ and living a life where God can use you, amen, that you can show somebody else the way to salvation, you better get out of there. Listen, this is what they deny. They deny the deity of God, the inspiration of the Bible, and the divinity of Jesus Christ. This is the Laodiceans now. Deny the existence of the soul, life after death, salvation, heaven, damnation, and hell. Deny the biblical account of creation. They believe that there's no absolute right or wrong, and that moral values are self-determined and situational. Do your own thing, listen, as long as it does not harm anyone else. Believe in the removal of distinctive roles of the male and female. In other words, they believe in homosexual, they believe in lesbianism, they believe in doing whatever you want to do. They believe in sodomite, they believe in having sex with animals. This is what this church is compiled up to become. And when it piles up to become, you will find it in the book of Revelation, the 17th chapter, of this woman, this great harlot, is riding up on the scarlet beast. This is that final church, a world church. It is filthy, low down, daddy. Woo, my God. This is the filthiest church on the face of the earth, because it belongs to Satan. Satan is the cause of filthiness. Satan is the cause of sin. Satan is the cause of low down, carnal iniquity and a blasphemy. He is the cause of that. And he's got people believing you can do anything you want, you're going to end up in heaven. No, you won't. You're going to end up in hell, because sin is in your soul. Sin is in your spirit. You are saying things that is against God's holiness. And God is holy. Don't let nobody fool you. God is holy, holy, holy. He's so holy that no mortal man can ever stand before him. He'll be ground up and like a baking powder and blown away with the wind. Moses tried to see God, and God said, no man, no man, no man can see my face and live. So a lot of people might go to hell. Well, you ain't going to heaven with sin. You ain't going to go to heaven with sin in your heart. No. N-O. What part of no don't you understand? The end of the old. Because let me tell you, God will not tolerate sin in heaven. Oh, yes, he's tolerating it now. He's trying to win somebody. He's trying to give them an opportunity. He's letting his grace be shared abroad. Amen. He's giving you time, and he's been patient with you. But you know something? God's patience is running out. Oh, my God. God's patience is running out because he has been good. He's been good to the human race. He shared his grace every day you get up in the morning. He's sharing his grace every day, every minute, every second, every year. God is sharing his grace. And he shared the ultimate grace when his son, Jesus Christ, God's son, came down here and died in my place, died in my place, suffered in my place, crucified in my place, beaten in my place. He took something and everything that the human race and the demons and the devil threw at him, he took it and went down in the grave with it and came out glorified. And now he says, I got all power in heaven and earth in my hand. This church believes in sexual freedom between consenting individuals regardless of age. You know what I'm saying? This is that Horus church. This is that blasphemous church. Regardless of age, including premarital sex, homosexuality, and incest. This is what this church is teaching. This is what people want. This is what people are doing. Believing their right to abortion, enthusiasm, and killing, and suicide. Believes in equal distribution of America's wealth in order to reduce poverty and bring about equality. They believe in socialism. This is that Laodicean church now. This is that one that's in the book of Revelation, and we're going to get and see what this here woman looked like on the beast, what she looked like. It says, believe in distributing of American wealth in order to reduce the poverty and bring equality. Believes in control of environment and control of limitation of energy. In other words, this church believes in what? A dictator-type government that controls the human race. Believes in removal of American patriotism, the free enterprise system, disarmament, and creation of one world. Listen, one world socialist government. We're getting ready to enter into that now. We're getting ready to enter into that now. And when coronavirus came, it turned people's heads, but it didn't turn their heart to God. America still haven't repented. People not repenting today. Wait, let me tell you something. People worried about dying with coronavirus. Lord have mercy. That's a minor thing there. That's a minor thing. What about if you die without Jesus Christ? Think about it. Think about it. What if you die tomorrow? You die a month from now. You die a second from now. And you don't know Christ. You haven't never been repented. You haven't been baptized. You haven't confessed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But yet you say you might believe in God, but you haven't repented. And let's say you die without receiving salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ. The minute you die, your soul will automatically be switched into hell. You'll look up in hell. Yes, you will. I didn't say it. You'll look up in hell, and you'll wonder why, and you'll know why you're in hell. You're in hell because you will know that you have not received Christ. You didn't believe what he did for you on Calvary's cross was sufficient enough. You believe in going to church. You believe in paying your tithe and offering. You believe in certain ethics and certain rules and regulations, but you never accepted Christ as your personal redemptive Savior. Your soul was never cleansed from sin, and the only way it can be cleansed is by the blood of Jesus Christ. When you wake up in hell, there is no way out. It will be hot in hell. Now remember, hell and Gehenna, it's two different compartments. Hell is a waiting place, a relay station, a place where you will know where you're at, and you know why you're there, a place where you won't be able to blame nobody but yourself. You'll be separated from your loved ones. And you will feel the heat just like the rich man did when he went to hell. When he went to hell, he lifted up his eyes in hell and he said, Father Abraham, could you send Lazarus down here? Woo, good God Almighty. Could you send Lazarus down here and tell him to drop by the Oasis water fountain? I'm ad-libbing that. Drop by the Oasis water fountain and put a little bit of water on the tip of his finger. And come down here and touch my tongue. Good God Almighty. This is a man in hell. This is no joke. This is no Mickey Mouse. This is no Donald Duck. This is no Playboy magazine. This is no Good Housekeeping. This is no Ebony. This is not no Jet magazine. This is the Bible. This is the B-I-B-L-E, the book of all books. No book can overturn it. No book can outdo it. No book can, no man can destroy it. No man can drown it. This is God's word. And what God said, God mean it. And he said, I love the world so much. I love the world so much that I gave, good God Almighty from Zion, my only son. God ain't got no more son. No, and he can't create no more son. He only got one. And the one that I'm talking about is he himself, the great Elohim, the Jehovah Jireh. The one that existed long before anybody knew he existed. And he's the same God 10 quadruple billion years ago. He's the same God today and the same God yesterday. And he's the same God today. Ain't no changing in him. You can't change him. The weather can't change him. Woo! No government can change him. He's self-existent. Can't you get that? If he's self-existent, that means everything that was made out of nothing. And since it was made out of nothing, how could something be made out of nothing when nothing is there? Yet and still God spoke to nothing. And when he spoke to nothing, nothing has to answer. And when nothing answered, he said, what do you want? And whatever God said that nothing to be, it came forth. Woo, God Almighty. Woo! You better look out. You better listen. Listen, this church that's getting ready to come up, which be led by the Roman Catholic Church through the Pope will gather all religions together during the tribulation period. He's already working on it right now. But he's going to get all religions, just religion. And these religions don't require salvation through the cross. They just say, choose your own God. Do what you want to do. Say what you want to say. But yet still, you want to say you're worshiping God, and you're not worshiping God. You're worshiping the devil, the D-E-V-I-L, devil. Take the D off and you got evil. Evil comes from the devil. Evil is of the devil. Nothing comes from the devil is good. Nothing. He tried to be something above what God want him to be, and he became nothing, zero factor. He'll never be no good, but God used him. He using him like a petty. He using him to do his will, and the devil knows it. And God today is trying to wake up this generation over the world with all the catastrophes, the earthquakes and the fires and the storms. And I mean, it's chaotic. Afghanistan, Israel, going through a transition. The nations of the world are trying to get rid of Israel, which they are fools if you try to mess with a Jew. You mess with a Jew, you just want to go hang yourself. Because the Lord said, when you touch my people, you touch the apple of mine eye. If you won't do anything for the Jews, you got to pray for them, witness to them, and support what they believe, what they do, what's getting ready to happen. Woo! In the next few years or the next few months or the next few days, the Jews are getting ready to do a unique thing which shows us that we are definitely living in the last days. And I'm going to get that to the end of my teaching tonight. So stay around. Amen. Listen to what I'm going to tell you. It says, humanism was declared by the United States Supreme Court to be a religion. Does this religion have an effective Sunday school? Not exactly. It has an effective Monday through Friday school. That's right. Our public school doesn't. The Constitution requires separation of church and state. Yes. Indeed, however, schools are rapidly changing from traditional education to change agents of humanism. Who pays for it? You do. How can it affect your child? His conscience can be slowly remolded until ultimately he recognizes no need for God. And parental values. Parents are portrayed as unleavened, uncaring, inadequate, slow. He is conditioned to view his parents with distrust, disrespect, alienated from the result. Serious emotions and moral spiritual problems often occurs. How is this disguised? Determination of extreme humanism is the school required some detective work. Terms of designating are constantly changing. It may be called value education, value skill, value clarification, self-awareness, decision-making, self-acceptance, interpretive personal relationship skills. Textbooks, libraries frequently contains humanism and provides excellent opportunities for open, honest discussions, which includes teachers' pressure and peer pressure. Pre-calculatum often contains courses on human humanistic, sexuality, and family living, or sex education may be sandwiched in with reading, history, and health and biology. So what we're turning our schools into, misfits. We're turning our schools into get the young people to deny that God exists. This is what this church is teaching. They're deprogramming our youth. They are actually deprogramming them to believe anything but God and the Bible and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that he is the one that made you out of the dust of the earth and created in you a spirit and a soul that you may give him the glory. And they're not teaching that in school. They don't even pay allegiance to the flag no more. They don't even put their hand over the heart. They don't even say the Lord's Prayer. When I was going to school, amen, amen, every morning we would say the Lord's Prayer, put our hands over our heart, and pledge allegiance to the flag. They don't even do that no more. They don't do that no more. Why? Deprogramming our generation, which is the last generation on this planet. This generation is the last. Ain't nothing after this. No, no. There ain't no reversal. Everybody want to know if the church is going to get back where it used to be. No, the church is getting ready to leave. Jesus Christ is getting ready to rapture his church. Why? Because the church is done. The church age is done. Jesus Christ said it's going to get so bad that the people, I'm going to send strong delusion that they're believing a lie because they won't receive the love of the truth. And the truth comes from the word of God. And the parents and the schools and the government and society don't believe that it's necessary to look towards heaven and call on the name that's above every name. Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. They won't claim it. And by them not claiming it, civilization will crumble up and fall down and be destroyed by man himself. But God is going to intercede and bring the world to a close and bring this age to a close. Humanism is found in Laodicean church. That's what you got in the church today. They believe in every wicked thing that you can think of because this church is not of God. It's of Lucifer. And Lucifer is found, amen, the head of this woman on the beast in the 17th chapter of Revelation. This is where the church come to its full blossom. and is not the church of the living God. It's the church that belongs to Luciferians, demonic demons, cesspool of sin. John the Revelator writes in the 17th chapter, and there came one of the seven angels. And this is the second part of the last 3.5 years of the tribulation. We don't cross over to the last part of the tribulation. This is where this here woman comes in. Listen to what it said. And the seven angels which had seven vials talk with me, saying unto me, come hither, I will show thee unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, upon the population of the earth, sits upon many waters. That's the population of the earth. In other words, she will control earth population. It says, whom the kings, the royal people, the rich people of the earth have committed fornication. There's spiritual fornication and there's physical fornication. And this church is doing them both. This is it. It says, commit fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. They don't got drunk over spiritual fornication and sexual fornication. People are drunk over sex now. They are drunk. They are drunk. They are drunk. They are drinking every foul doctrine that the devil comes out. They're eating babies. They're sacrificing babies. They have child porno. They're killing babies, like 62 million babies a year, and they're sacrificing these babies to Baal, the ancient gods of yesterday, the ancient gods of ancient time. They're eating their own feces. They're drinking their own pee. They do all kind of wickedness. Woo! If you don't believe me, check Biblical Encyclopedia and the Botanic Encyclopedia and look up the Bohemian Grove in California, 2,700 acres. And on that acre, they got a idol set up called Moloch. And they worship Baal. They worship demons. They worship sex. They worship porno. They worship incest. They worship that. They come out and they say that they're doing God's work. They ain't doing God's work. It's satanic works. The Bohemian Grove is well known amongst the politicians of the presidents and the United States, and the senators and the government of the United States are very familiar with the Bohemian Grove. You ought to look it up. Presidents have come and went out there in California, and they have cross-dressed. They do wicked stuff. They do sex orgies. They bring women in and have sex with them, men with men and women. This is Bohemian Grove. And then they get behind the podium and tell you that we're going to make it, the world better. All the rich folk, all the kings and priests of the earth know about Bohemian Grove. The Illuminatis go there. All the secret societies go there. And they actually, listen to what I'm saying, they actually worship Satan. They bow down to him. And whatever Satan says, do, they do it, and they are doing it now. And this here woman that's seen in the 17th chapter of Revelation comes to a head, comes to a zenith, and this is what they're doing. They were made drunk of the wine of her fornication. So he carried me in the wilderness, carried me in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit up on a scarlet beast. These rich folks, man, they dress. They got money on top of money. They got the finest car, the finest houses. They got land. And it says here, and the woman stood up on the colorful beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. The seven heads represent the seven heads of Rome. The seven heads and the 10 horns. Represent the 10 European common markets that will control amen, the world economical, the political, and the religious order, the ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, decked with gold and precious stone and pearls, having a golden cup. Look at that golden cup. Golden cup in her hand. Full of what? It didn't say joy. It didn't say peace. It didn't say love. It says full of abomination. And what? Filthiness. Sin is filthy. Sin stinks. And people love to smell it. People love to wallow in it. People love to enjoy the low-down pleasure of sexuality and taking little girls, 13, 10, 9, 8, and raping them. People enjoy that. People sell them and buy them. And then after they get through with them, they offer them up for sacrifice and drink their blood. This is what people are doing. This is filthiness. This is what's in the church, in the false church. And God is going to separate the true saints from the false saints, because he said, let the wheat and the tares grow together. Let them grow together. He said, but don't worry about it. I'm going to do the separating. When God separates, buddy, he know how to separate. Ooh, he know the liars. He know the whoremongers. He know the prostitution. He know the child porno. He know the baby killers. He knows them. You can know them, but you can't know them like God know them. They look like they all right to you, but the ones that get up there and talk all smooth and everything, ooh, if I tell you something, it'll curl your mind. Hillary Clinton is in the Illuminati. Come on. Barack Obama's wife is in, he's in the Illuminati. Come on, y'all, wake up. You're sleeping. All those high-class senators and governors and kings and princes all up in the rich society are corrupt. The fifth verse said, and up on her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon, the great mother of harlots and abomination of the earth. Look at that. Look at the abomination that this church caused during the tribulation period. This tribulation period is on the verge right now, and the tribulation cannot come. Listen, the tribulation cannot come. This woman on the beach cannot come until the middle of the tribulation period. And right now, Pope Francis is uniting all world religions as one world religion. I ain't never heard of people talking about they going to heaven under one world religion, because they're not going to heaven. They're going to hell, because Jesus Christ said, up on this rock, I'm going to build my church. Hallelujah, praise our God. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And it says anything that's not like God is doomed for eternal punishment. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyr of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with a great admiration. When I saw this woman, John the Revelator said, I wondered with a great admiration, because this church is going to be the greatest persecutor of the saints of God on this earth after the rapture of the church. After the rapture of the church, God's going to send some world evangelists. 144,000 Jews are going to come from the 12 tribe of Israel, and they are going to preach the gospel for the first 3.5 years, like out of sight. It ain't going to be no playing around. It ain't going to be no church going. It ain't going to be nothing. But let me tell you, the gospel will be preached by 144,000 Jews, which come from 12 tribes of Israel. From each tribe, you get 12,000. And out of the 12,000, you got 12. And 12 times 12 equals 144,000. And they are going to preach that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and he's coming back to set up the millennial kingdom. This is the Jews. The Jews is going to preach now. The church is done. Hallelujah. The church is almost done with her mission. And sad to say, the church failed her mission. And I'm in it. I said, Lord, don't let me be a failure. Please, let me preach this word. Let me live the life that you called me to live. Let me let the world know you are real. You are real. You are real. And you ain't playing. You ain't playing with no preacher. You ain't playing with no pope. You ain't playing with no deacon. You ain't playing with no choir member. You ain't playing. And if you ain't playing, then why are there so many people playing around thinking God is going to let this thing go? He's not going to let it go. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap at the end. And here, this here woman is riding on this beast. She's filled with filthiness, and everybody's going whoring after that. Everybody likes to go to that kind of church. Man, when you can wife swapping and card playing and all kind of debauchery that they're doing in the house, and they want God to accept it, where you're a lying wonder, and the devil ain't going to tell you the truth. I saw this woman, and she was drunk because she was slaying every Christian that she could think of that stood for Christ during the tribulation period. And when these 144,000 televised, Instagram, tweeters, there's going to be prophesied around the world. Now listen, 144,000 is going to be televised around the world. The whole world is going to witness these 144,000, and they're going to have to listen to them for 3.5 years. That's 1,260 days, 42 months, or times and times and dividing time. A time equals year, 2 times equals 2 years, and a half time equals half a year. They are going to preach the gospel of the kingdom, because the gospel of grace will be done when the rapture of the church comes. We are living right now under the gospel of grace. Thank God, thank God. But pretty soon, when the body of Christ will be excommunicated, then we will fall in the time of the gospel of the kingdom, which 144,000 Jews are going to preach the gospel. Look at it. Look it up. Look it up in the 7th chapter of Revelation. You see the 144,000. And it's not Jehovah Witness. It's not the Baptist. It's not the Presbyterian. It's not the Voodoo. It's not the Ku Klux Klan. It ain't none of that. Ain't none of that. It's the Jewish people. Because during the 7-year tribulation, God said, I'm going to give you the last 7 years for you to do your ministry. And the ministry will be that the Jews will spread the gospel around the world. 25,000 miles in circumference. It feeds at 17.4 miles a day, a second rather. 17.4 miles a second, and it's spinning right now, and the world don't even know it, and it's spinning right into oblivion without Christ. Woo, my God, my God. Woo! People get a free ride. They get free sunshine. They get free, you wake up every morning. You get free food. Because if you had to pay God for the food that you eat, you starve to death. Because it's too much for you. You can't handle that. But God, yet and still, he gives us the desires of our heart. He gives us life. And most of all, what he gave. He gave his son's life that I could have eternal life, that I will never die anymore, that I will never sin anymore. In this life, we can sin. But after this life is over, I get my new body, I will never sin against God again for eternity. But thank God he made intercession for you and I, that if we sin, he said if you confess your sins, he's faithful enough and just enough to forgive you all sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That's what I'm talking about. And here people believe that this is a Torah. The Bible is not a Torah. Jesus is not a Torah. The Word of God, the Holy Spirit is not a Torah. Ain't no excuses for nobody living wicked when Jesus Christ done paid the price. No excuses for me, you, or your mama, or your daddy, or sister. And don't think I'm getting mean because I'm not a mean person. But I'm talking to Satan because I know what he's doing to people. But I love people. I love those that are listening to me now. I love those that don't listen to me. I love you. I don't want to see you go to hell. And my biggest fear is not coronavirus. I sometimes get very weary and very unsatisfied when I say, Lord, Lord, look at the people that's missing you. Look at the people who are rejecting you. You can tell them and they can see it, they can hear it, and they won't turn. They won't repent. They won't come to you and humble themselves. Lord, what can I do? What can I do? What can I do to save somebody by hearing the word of God and confessing Christ? What do I have to do? Convince them. Man, don't leave this world. Don't leave this world without Jesus. Please. Please don't leave this world without Jesus. You leave this world without Jesus, you're going to hell. H-E-L-L. Hell. A place prepared for the devil and his angels. And those that follow Satan, those that make pledges to Satan, those that give themselves over to Satan, those that reject Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, will go to hell. The big shots, the little shots, black and white, Chinese, Japanese, all those that turn their back on the eternal God. And during the time of persecution, the false church will slay mortal. He will martyr millions of people. And she would kill so many people that the blood of martyr of Jesus will make her drunk. And he said, I wonder with a great admiration. And the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? And I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her. The woman and the beast. The woman represent the false church. The beast represent the political world, the political governments. And there has been at least seven governments that have ruled the world, and they persecuted religious people. Listen, the first one, Egypt. Second one, the Assyrian Empire. Then the Babylonian Empire. Then the Median Persian Empire. And then the Grecian Empire. And then the Roman Empire. Every one of those kingdoms were wicked, and they kill people who live for God. Until this present day, this same spirit of ancient times is ruling the world today through Luciferians and demons and devils. And he said, I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carried her, which has seven heads and 10 horns. The seven heads, the seven heels of Rome. The seven empires that was on the planet that's existing today in one global, in one world government. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder whose name were not written in the book of life from the foundations of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. This beast that come up out of the bottomless pit, it was and it is not. In other words, it exists, but it only exists at a certain time. And it's going to be manifested at a certain time. And he said, and here is a mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are the seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. There's seven mountains in Rome. Huh? Seven mountains in Rome. And the Roman Catholic Church is a head church that's going to develop into one world church, which will be the great whore that will rule the religious world in great power and a great multitude, and it will do it. Why? Because people have been deceived in believing that this here man that's coming on the scene, this Antichrist that will become the beast, this Antichrist that will become the beast. And when he becomes the beast, he will claim that he is God Almighty. And by him being God Almighty, he shows the world that he will do a fake resurrection. And this resurrection will be done in the middle part of the tribulation, when the Antichrist will be assassinated. And when it is assassinated, it will lay in the morgue for 3 days, same way that Christ was in the grave. Now listen, in the 12th chapter of Revelation, you will find there's going to be a war in heaven, when Michael and his angels will be cast out. Michael will cast the demons and devils and the old dragon out of heaven. Beelzebub, they will be thrown to earth. When Lucifer comes down here, amen, he will have permission to incarnate himself into the Antichrist and raise him from the dead with a deadly wound. Will be healed in the head. That's found in the 13th chapter of Revelation. He will get up out the grave or get up out the morgue. And when he get up out the morgue, he will claim himself to be God Almighty on earth. He will say, I'm God Almighty in the flesh, and the world will be stunned. You talking about stunned? They're going to be hypnotized, traumatized, and not baptized. They're going to be saying this: who is like the beast, and who was able to make war with him? Who will be able to withstand him? Who will be able to eliminate him? Nobody. But there's one man, God man, the great God of Zion, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He will defeat this beast. He will destroy this beast. When he does this, listen what it said. The seven heads are seven mountains, Rome, on which the woman sitteth. On the top of Rome, Rome has been the most terrifying empire on the planet. And now it's being revived. It's being revived. There is a Roman orator that says, Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses, all the king's men could not put Humpty Dumpty back together again. That was a Roman orator saying that the fall of the Roman Empire will be revived, and the Roman Empire was revived in 1948 when the World Council of Churches came, and when Israel became a nation, and when the European 10 market nation came. That was a revival of the Roman Empire until 1948, until 2020-21. They tell them Rome now is at a peak in which all the world churches will come together and be this great horde that sitteth upon the scarlet beast. Take a break, 10th verse. And there were seven kings, five are fallen, and one is, and the other is yet to come. Now, what you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about what John saw in the book of Revelation. He said, there are seven kings. Five are fallen. What five are fallen? The Egyptian Empire. The Egyptian Empire. The Assyrian Empire. The Babylonian Empire. The Median-Persian Empire. The Grecian Empire. Have fallen, and one is. Which is the one is? The one that is to come. The Roman Empire failed, and there's one yet to come. There are seven kings. Five are fallen, one is. At the time that Revelation was written, Rome was the powerful empire and the only powerful empire up on the earth. Rome was. And there, I say it again, and there were seven kings, five are fallen, and one is, and the other is not yet come. Woo! Five is fallen. Let's go over that again. Five are fallen. One is. The one that was and is Rome. And the other's not yet come. The revived Roman Empire has not come, but it is in its making. It's in its making. And when it comes, it must continue a short space. Good God Almighty. A short space of what? A short space of 3.5 years that this world government would last. It only lasts 3.5 years. The revived Roman Empire. Because Rome had conquered practically the whole world the time it existed. And it fell in 476. And the revived Rome came back in 1948. They're going to reestablish the one until it gets to its full head, and that will be the last 3.5 years of the book of Revelation, where this Rome, this beast, this false church will rule the world, because after the resurrection of this year false Messiah, this false Christ, this beast, the world will say, oh my God, Jesus done raised from the dead. Been raised from the dead, and now we look at him as being God Almighty, and who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Look at the power that he has. And the devil got power, but he ain't got more than God's power. But God is letting the devil make a monkey out of himself, because he ain't nothing but a monkey. He wants to do everything what God done, and guess what? It's a failure. So, when this man come up from the grave, he's going to say that he's God Almighty, and then he's going to make a mandatory call, the mark of the beast. It's going to be a mandatory thing that you receive a mark on your right hand or on your forehead. A computer chip that will be inserted in your skin that can read you, know all about you. And if you do not receive this mark, you will not be able to buy or sell. You ain't going to be able to buy nothing if you don't receive this mark. The coronavirus is a gateway, a doorway to subliminal people's mind. To say, well, if you don't take it, you can't go here. If you don't take it, you can't go there. But let me tell you something. It's subliminal people's mind for the mark of the beast. It is not the mark of the beast. It is a similitude of what's getting ready to come, where not only you ain't going to be able to go no place, you won't be able to buy a dime. You won't be able to go to your bank, you won't be able to own your house, you won't be able to own your car, you won't be able to own nothing, you won't be able to do nothing except you receive this mark. And when you receive this mark, you are actually selling your soul to Luciferians and the devil and all the world that believe that this mark is the deliverance for salvation only for one way, and that is materialism. You have the right. If you receive this mark, you will have the right to buy or sell. If you refuse this mark, you will die. You will die by beheading, because there's going to be a great slaughter in the United States. There's going to be a great martyrism in the United States. The church lawn, the church buildings, the FEMA camps, the railroad cars will become slaughterhouses. Because they're going to bring guillotines in. And they already got 60,000 already in the United States, brought in by Barack Obama. Illuminati, Masonry, all these secret societies and Freemasons, all these secret societies is the cause of them bringing guillotines, 60,000, and they're going to put them on church lawns. And they're going to have coffins to throw the dead bodies in. And some of the bodies they're going to keep for body parts. It's going to become a blood slaughtering place. You talking about the walking dead. The walking dead ain't got nothing against what the devil getting ready to do to Christians that don't bow down to him. And the world today is bowed down to anything. They're bowed down to everything. They're bowed down to everything but God Almighty, and come to the cross and receive Christ as their personal Savior so they won't have to go through all this. Because let me tell you, if you receive the mark, that means your soul is damned forever. You're doomed. You're out. Once you receive that mark, inside of that computer chip is a radio frequency. And that radio frequency can eliminate your God conscience. It can eliminate your God conscience when you receive that mark on your forehead. Takes the DNA of your God conscience and your soul and deletes God in your life. You're no longer able to be redeemed. You're doomed, damned for hell forever. He laughed because you rejected. You told God, and I said this before, you told God, take all that cross and all that blood and all that dropping your head between the locks of your shoulder, all that grave dying, and then you got up on the third day morning, and then you went back to heaven. Hey, shove it. That's what the world is saying. Shove it. I don't need that. I'm going to get my mark. And I'm going to be able to go in my, drive my car. I'm able to keep my house. I'm able to keep my insurance. I'm able to keep my 401k. I'm able to have all that. And the world going to say, if I reject the mark, I'm going to be beheaded. If I receive the mark, I'm going to lose everything. I'm going to lose everything. And I ain't talking about your car. I'm talking about your soul will be lost forever. This ain't no play. Brother Bazaar ain't playing. I ain't playing bingo. I ain't playing checkers. I'm not playing dominoes. I'm not playing nothing with this word. This word is going to come to pass just like God said it's going to come to pass. And we living in that time now, season. The rapture of the church can happen anytime now. Anytime. And a lot of people say, well, what's the last great prophecy that says that Jesus Christ could come tomorrow or today or next month? What is the last great prophecy that men are waiting for, men are looking for? What's supposed to happen before the rapture of the church, or what is supposed to be coming on the scene to let people know the rapture is right at our doorstep? Well, I told you at the beginning of the session, I'm going to tell you exactly what is the biggest prophecy that will show us how close we are. And that is, number one, the return of the Jews in the promised land. Number two, the 67 6-day war. Number three, the Jews, just mentioned 2 weeks ago, or even before that, they said in 1967, we've got to regain the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem. We got to regain that. It's in the Bible that we shall regain that. Because the Wailing Wall is the place where we are planning. We are mapping it out. We got schematic views. We got already drawn out. We got a scale model, because we are definitely, good God Almighty, we definitely have to build a temple. The Jewish temple, the third temple that the Jews have built since the time of Solomon. Solomon built the first one. Herod rebuilt the second and reestablished it. And it got burned down in 70 A.D. And the Jews ain't had a temple since 70 A.D. until 2021. And now they say, we've got the map. We've got the design. We got the material. We got the price. We got the priest. We got the ephod. We got the menorah candlestick. We got the animals. We got two red heifers we are looking for. We are planning to get the what? We are planning to get the Ark of the Covenant so we can put inside the Holies of Holies, because the Jews today believe that the Old Testament Judaism is still effective. And I'm letting you know it's not effective, but God is going to let the Jews go through their rituals, but they're going to find out that this was a lie, because in the book of Daniel, the 9th to the 26th verse, he said, we are going to establish a covenant with Israel, and the Antichrist is going to make a covenant with Israel, and one of the covenants is going to be that the Antichrist is going to give them permission to rebuild the temple. When the Jews hear that, they're going to claim that this false Messiah is the Antichrist, is Jesus Christ, and he's not Jesus Christ. So what's the next big thing? The next big thing is the building of the Jewish. They got to build it, because if they don't build the temple, they cannot put the Antichrist in no temple to sit in. If they don't build the temple, then Christ cannot come. If they don't build the temple, that means that they cannot go back into Judaism and God will let them know that Judaism is done. No more animals. Jesus Christ made the ultimate sacrifice for the sins of the people. He died once and for all. So, brothers and sisters, we are in a dilemma, and the next big, great dilemma is number one is, you're going to hear more about the temple building than ever in history. This is the ultimate time for the rapture of the church to occur. When the rapture of the church occurs, the Antichrist will confirm a covenant with the Jewish people that he will give them permission to reestablish Judaism. And the Jews are going to be overwhelmed. They're going to be excited. They're going to be deceived. They're going to be tricked in believing that this man of sin is the true Christ, when he is nothing but the raw, slew-footed, backbone, no good devil. Amen. Deceiving the people. And let me tell you, the church will not be here. I'm going to tell you again, the church will not be here, because church in Israel will not be on this planet at the same time, because the gospel of grace will be over, and God is not going to put grace under the Jewish preaching. It's the gospel of the millennium reign. It's the gospel of the kingdom of God. So all the theologians out there and all the Bible students out there, let me tell you something. You better get it right. You better do that, because you're going to be responsible what you say about this year. The blood of Jesus Christ is not going to be able to escape, amen, the tribulation period. That's the church. So, if temple is built, guess who said it's going to be built? We'll go right here into Thessalonians. And Thessalonians give me some good information. And the good information is the second letter of Paul to the Thessalonians in the second chapter, the fourth verse. I go back to the third verse. It says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. Falling away. That Laodicean church gone. Fell away from the cross, fell away from the blood of Jesus Christ, fell away from the crucifixion, fell away from the resurrection, fallen away from the baptism of the Holy Ghost, fallen away from the principles and the teachings and the doctrines of the Bible, fell away from everything. So that day shall not come except there be a falling away. first, and that man of sin, Antichrist, be revealed. Revealed to who? Revealed to the world. It's already, I got revealed about a long time ago who the Antichrist is. He's alive today. He's 53 years old. He's 6 foot six. He's married. He's got two daughters. He's the son of Juan Carlos, which is the descendant from the throne of David. So he is here, the son of perdition, the man of sin, is going to reveal to the world. The world is going to witness it. And he's going to come as a surprise and a wonder. For we know the United States have had 45 presidents, and they have never, never had a time where they could guarantee you peace. It's going to be peace. Now we're in war. Everything is wrapped up. Everything confused. So in order to deceive people, the Antichrist is going to come, and he's going to bring a semi-peace pact with the Jews. And when the nations of the world say they're going to be afraid of the Jews, oh, my God, yes, that's what we want. We've been striving for that for a long time. Deception. The man of sin. A man that's of sin, nothing but sin, be revealed. Son of perdition. His perdition is hell. Son of perdition. Who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worship, so that he as God sitteth in what? What he sitting at? The temple. What temple? Of God. Who's going to build it? The Jews. Are they working on it? Yes. Who's going to verify? The Antichrist. Who's going to sign the signet and the covenant? The Antichrist. Well, he's going to sit in the temple that they built it and show himself that he is God. So he is going to actually desecrate the temple that's called the abomination desolation. In the middle of the tribulation, after he's resurrected from the dead, he's going to go inside the temple, the holies of holies. The holiest place that you can meet God, but see, God is not in the temple no more. The temple is Jesus Christ. You got to come to him in order to receive salvation. The temple was a type and shadow of salvation when they was in the wilderness. And when they came all the way down from 1000 B.C. until 400 B.C., because 606 B.C. is when Israel was taken into captivity, well, that temple has not been built since 70 A.D., because that was the last temple to destroy. So now here's the third temple, which will be the final temple. Devil himself will actually go into the holy place and the most holy place and desecrate the temple, tear the temple down, take the Ark of the Covenant and discard it, and sits inside the temple and tell the world by televised, TV, internet, Facebook, all the high technology of communication will be in action. You talking about some action? Woo! Action on the mountaintop, action in the valley, action on the streets. Folks will be looking at the big screen TV. Programs will be eliminated because the people want to know what's going on. These people are preaching Jesus Christ is coming back again to set up the millennial kingdom. The 144,000 will be preaching. In the middle of the tribulation period, the 144,000 will be redeemed from the earth. But those that heard him in the first 3.5 years, they received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And that's where John looks at the 7th chapter of Revelation and said, I see a number that no man can number. He said, where did these come from? And who are they? And one of the elders said, don't you know who they are? He said, no. He said, these are they that came through great trials and tribulation. These are the ones that received Jesus Christ from the preaching of the 144,000. But now they got to go through the latter part of the 3.5 years where there'll be a great persecution. There'll be a great, great persecution. There will be bloodshed in the streets of our cities. The world become mad. The devils will become mad. The flying object that you've been hearing for the last almost 70 to 75 years, UFOs, which are demonic spirits, will be cast out of heaven. And the devil will be cast out of heaven. And they will actually come to earth. And when they come to earth, they're gonna have hell on earth. You won't be able to escape unless you get out the city. If you live in the city, you better get your gear and get out. You better get your car or somebody, because let me tell you, when the rapture of the church, my God, I'll come, a lot of people's houses are going to be ravished. A lot of people are going to go in people's houses, empty cars in the driveway. They're going to go in people's houses that was raptured up, and some of the loved ones are going to be left there. They say, what y'all doing? Well, man, your mom, we will get everything we can. It's going to be hell. You ain't saw nothing yet. Coronavirus is a plaything. Ain't nothing. And people worry about coronavirus. You ain't worried about your soul. Because your soul going to have more than a vaccination. You're going to have to go down at the cross where my Savior died. And you're going to have to repent. You're going to have to turn 110%. 180 degrees, and let your soul cleave on to the old rugged cross where Jesus died, oh my God, for your sins. At the end, at the beginning of the 3.5 years, at the last part of the tribulation period, God is going to send 2 last witnesses, and then the 14th chapter, he's going to send 3 angels. These 3 angels is going to fly. Listen to me what I'm saying. They're going to fly around the world and witness to every nation, tongues, and languages. And they're going to say, woe, woe, woe to the heavens of the earth. And they're going to tell the world, don't receive the mark of the beast. For if you do, you will fall into the hands of an angry God, and it will be mixed up in the winepress, and you shall be literally damned into hell if you receive the mark. And it's going to tell the world, don't receive the mark. God is going to warn the whole world. And at the same time, the 2 witnesses will be preaching, not behind a pulpit, no, not under a revival, no, they're going to be preaching in the streets of Jerusalem for exactly 1,260 days, 3.5 years, 42 months, times and times and dividing the times, and it will be televised on every continent. The world will witness of the gospel being preached. And the end, Jesus said, and the end shall not come. The end ain't gonna come until the gospel is preached to all the world. That's that Philadelphia church. Because after the rapture of the church, evangelizing will be in play. There ain't gonna be no church meeting. There ain't gonna be no church, you know, like going to the building. You'll have to exclude yourself and hide yourself and keep in secret spots to keep yourself being caught by the agents, because the people going to be looking for people. And they're going to be asking you, have you received the mark of the beast? No, I ain't seen. I ain't thinking about it. Well, if you don't receive the mark, you got to come with us. I ain't going with you. Well, if you don't go with us, we're going to have to kill you right here on the spot. That's what it's going to end up being. The cities of America, whoo, you talking about hell. It ain't really hell. But, buddy, it's going to be killing, murdering. There's going to be slaughter. There's going to be more people taking drugs. There's going to be more people being homosexual, lesbianism. There's going to be more people eating people. There's going to be more people dying. And let me tell you, Revelation is, like I told you, Friday night. Friday night. Ninth chapter of Revelation says, I saw what? I saw, let's get there. Let's get there. I don't want to say something I won't be sure of. In the ninth chapter of Revelation, it says the fifth angel sounding, I hear the star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there rose smoke out of the pit. And as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were dark by reason of the smoke of the pit. And they came out of the smoke, locusts upon the earth. And to them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God on their forehead. And to them was given that they should not kill them, but they should be tormented for 5 months. And their torment was the torment of scorpions when it striketh a man. And in those days, men shall seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were likened to horses, and to battles, and on their heads were crowned like gold, and their faces were the faces of men, and they had long had hair as hair of women, and their teeth were the teeth of a lion, and they had breastplate of iron, and sound of wings was sound of chariots running to battle, and they had tails like scorpions, and were sting in their tail, and their power was given to hurt men for 5 months. Torment coming in the first part of the tribulation period. It is no joke, my friends. It is no joke. If Jesus Christ, hallelujah, praise God, if Jesus Christ never got up, if he never died, if he never suffered, if he wouldn't have did this, if Jesus Christ wouldn't have done this for our souls, I would have to go to hell. I would have to go to the tribulation period. But because of God's love and his mercy and his goodness, he saw fit that if I would repent and turn from my wicked ways and accept his son, I shall be saved. And that's what he did. He saved me. And if he saved me, he can save you. The only thing you got to do, humble yourself and repent from your sin. That goes from preachers, deacons, sisters. If you don't think you saved, if you don't know you saved, you got a problem. I know I've been born again. I know I'm saved. I know Jesus Christ lives in my life. I know I have the love of God. I know that he died for me. And if it wasn't for him dying, I would have to go to the whole book of Revelation and see what would happen to me if Christ wouldn't have been risen from the dead. And I'll tell you right now, I'll go to hell with no redemption. I'll go to hell and pay for my own sins. But I'm not going to hell. I'm not going to hell because he loved me so much. He dies for my sins. And by him dying for my sins, when Christ comes to get to church, I'm gone. Thank God. And you can have the same thing that Christ done for me. He saved me, and he can save you, and he saved me today. But one day, very soon, the temple, the two red heifers, all this will come visibly. It will come out. And when you see this temple being in preparation, you better get yourself ready now before you even get started. Because the four horses of Apocalypse tells you this story. The first white horse represents the Antichrist. When the Antichrist comes, the red horse comes, which represents war. And that's going to be Gog and Magog when Russia attacks Israel. That will be probably after the rapture of the church. And then after the war starts and it causes a world war, then you see a black horse. Black horse represents famine, which food shortage is already here. So when the war comes, it's going to be more shortage, where a loaf of bread will cost you $80. A loaf of bread will cost you $80. And then John said, I saw a pale, soot-looking horse. And when you can't get no food and you don't eat the right nourishment, diseases break out. We already got diseases breaking out. But when these four horses start riding, Apocalypse start riding, buddy, woo, Jesus knows all about it. And he's telling you and he's warning the population of the earth, get ready because it's sure to come. This is the only way out. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? And that is, how shall we escape all this that's getting ready to come up here except we accept Jesus Christ? He's going to deliver my soul from this outward viper's generation. He's going to deliver my soul in his presence of the judgment seat of Christ. I'm headed that way. I'm going that way. Woo, hallelujah. I'm looking forward to seeing Jesus. And the only way I can see him, you got to come on to the cross. Come on to the cross. Somebody out there needs Jesus Christ right now. If you need to be saved, the only thing you got to do is confess with your mouth. Believe with your heart that God raised him from the dead. And the Bible says thou shalt be saved. Saved from what? Saved from that terrible, terrible place that God's going to send Satan. Saved you from sin. And when you get saved, you'll know that you are. If a man say he loved God and hate his brother, he's a liar. And the truth is not in him. Not in him. You know that you passed from death to life because you love the brother. I want you to understand this, man. This is Elder Bazaar coming to you from Watchman on the Wall, looking out for your souls and looking for the return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, because we're soon to be out of here. Keep your eyes on Jesus, but watch Jerusalem and see what is taking place over there. It is marvelous. It is wonderful to see how God